All right. How are you, folks? Mark Maron in for Sam Cedar. We're going to tape a little something that says that. I'll be here all week. Later in the week, we're going to have appearances from some of your favorites. Lawton Smalls will be on a little later in the week. Jim Earl will be on the phone as this or that later in the week. Mort Mortensen, maybe a father. I don't know. I don't think we're going to do a Rapture Watch. I was planning on doing the show from Los Angeles in the Young Turk studio, but then I was told by the powers that be that I would be doing Letterman on Tuesday night. And then that was on Thursday, I think. Yeah, no, it was probably last Monday. And then on Friday, I got a call saying, you're not doing Letterman. It's not happening. And I'd already made these plans to fly out here. So Letterman flew me out. So this is thanks to CBS. I am in New York, but I will not be doing the David Letterman show. Perhaps Thursday, but that's a long shot. And I did want to say that I am excited to be in New York. I don't miss it generally, but when I got here, I got very excited to go out last night to a diner, which you can't do anywhere else. It's not a chain diner. It's just some guy's diner. And I had some rice pudding and a nice sandwich, which you can only do in New York. Really, you can't get rice pudding anywhere. I got to be honest with you. Is this important? Not necessarily. But then I'm in Times Square. I'm staying right next to the Scientology building. I'm at the Paramount Hotel. And this morning when my alarm went off, I woke to the muffled sounds of sex in the room next door. But you know what was great about it, outside of just listening to people have sex, which is one of the greatest things in the world? How great is that? Just, it's sort of like a free show just to be sitting there going, dude, they're right there. It's happening right there. But they weren't putting on a show. Because I think I heard the epiphany. I heard the catalytic moment. Can you say that? The moment of orgasm I witnessed. And it was earnest. You know, it wasn't a show. They weren't in the next room like for 10 hours. It was just all of a sudden out of nowhere, right in sync, just a weird kind of like, just a grunt. And which is honest. That means that both people were right there. They knew each other long enough to time it properly. And I felt like I was part of something sweet and nice and right. And that's how I woke up this morning. What a better way to wake up. I guess the better way would have been for me to wake up in that position. But that wasn't the way it went because I'm alone. So there was no way that was going to happen. Let me just say one thing about the TSA. I have to be honest, I almost snapped at the airport. I don't understand. I went through the whole rigmarole. I put my shampoos in bottles, 3 ounces, everything with 3 ounces. But I get there, the bottles weren't marked. The woman's like, they need to be marked. I need to know what's in them. And really, there was that moment where I was looking at her with that horrendous anger, sort of like, you're really going to take those bottles from me? I went out of my way to put the shampoo in there. Look at me. This is a charade. This is retarded. And I don't need this crap in my life. I mean, why would I even bother preparing? And now it turns out that some kid This guy, he's a PhD student in the School of Informatics, whatever that is, at Indiana University, has figured out a way that to print boarding passes, that if you make a fake boarding pass and you could have a fake ID or a real ID, you can walk right through security. I don't know what that really gets you, but it does imply one thing, that the TSA is not really doing their job. And when it was brought to their attention that any moron can print a fake boarding pass and have anyone's ID if there are pictures on it and get right through security, they didn't want any criticism whatsoever. They tried to stifle this guy. They had an FBI agent raid the guy's house. So they can't take any real criticism because they know it's a charade. And I think that it's going to get to the point. It's interesting to me that we all play along with this thing. We all take our shoes off. We all do the whole rigmarole. Whatever they want from us, we do. And we do it with a certain surrender, with a sort of like, okay, this is what we have to do now. But when you start to realize what crap it is, it gets very irritating. And I think it's also a way that it's a very great indicator of what people will tolerate when they are in fear. Because I really believe that it possibly may get to a point, they have machines that'll do this now, but on a metaphoric level, it may get to a point where you go to the airport and they just casually ask you, could you please take all your clothes off? And they give you a doctor smock or maybe a disposable smock like you get at the doctor's office. And they say, you can pick your clothes up when you land. This is just the way it has to be now. Could you go into the machine? And you go into this machine and it scans you. It anally probes you. And then you get on the plane. And what I'm saying here about fear and about what people are willing to tolerate is that the first week or so of this, people are going to be sitting on the plane, shivering and weird. And they're like, this doesn't seem right. I'm bleeding rectally. And
I think that this is wrong. I don't think that they should be able to do this. Not only is it unconstitutional, I'm uncomfortable. And other people are going to be like, yeah, this is ridiculous. I can't believe it's come this far. And some guy's going to stand up and go, so you're not concerned with national security, that this is what we have to do right now to protect our country? And all these people are going to be like, oh, I guess he's right. And that'll go on for like 3 or 4 weeks. And then the second month of the policy, people are going to be on the plane. It's like, you know, it's better now. I'm not even uncomfortable with no clothes. And they fix the machines. My butt doesn't hurt anymore. And I think everything's pretty good. And it's nice. They give you a lollipop when you leave, when you get out of the machine. I'm okay with it now. I think if it's the right thing to do. And, I never knew it, but sometimes that can feel good. I am going off, obviously. I'm just saying that. I think that there should be – that bottled water companies should pay part of the TSA budget because they're the ones that made the real windfall. You can't bring anything through. So you have to buy crap at the airport, which is $9 for a bottle of water, $20 for a sandwich. Is that right? Maybe they saw me coming. Maybe – I don't know. Folks, important things are going to happen. You can call me if you want, but I didn't really provoke you to call me. I will in a minute somehow. I'll make you irritated. I mean, that Marin's wrong. He already used the word retarded. He's probably going to use the word fag next and piss off that one guy that hates him anyways. I'll be back in a second. It's Marin in for Cedar, 27 past.
Sam Cedar on Air America Radio.